Okay, it's 5 o'clock. This is the Board of Adjustment meeting for June 9th. We'll go ahead and get started with a roll call.
Paul?
Here.
Howe?
Here.
McElhenney?
Here.
Stelt?
Here.
Bolliger?
Here.
Item two on our agenda, and by the way, I assume there's agendas on the podium in the back. If anyone doesn't have an agenda, there's one on the podium in the back. But this is the Board of Adjustment. We are a five-member board. We are appointed by the mayor, and it's our responsibility to interpret the city zoning ordinances as they apply to special uses and variances. We hold public hearings, such as we're holding this afternoon, once a month. Applications are submitted to the staff. The staff, in turn, draws up fact sheets, sends them out to the members. The members, in turn, visit the sites in question, and then, so we're familiar with it, and then we come back to the public hearings prepared to make our decisions. We allow applicants and any objectors to speak, and if you wish to do that, I ask that you go to the podium in the back where we've got the microphone and the camera so we can properly record the meeting. So with that in mind, we'll go ahead and get started. Item three, the board to review and approve the minutes of the meeting of April the 14th, 2011.
I make a motion we approve the minutes of April 14th.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Dave seconded. Is there any discussion? If not, all in favor of approving those signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, same sign. Motion's carried then to approve the minutes of April the 14th. Item four on our agenda is what we're all here for this evening. The board to hold a public hearing on the following items. This first item is A, case 11-030 at 5535 Clemens Road. And this is an A2 district. A request for a special use permit to allow a 55-foot high non-commercial ham operator transmission tower submitted by Gary Huff. Do we have an affidavit of publication?
Yes, we do.
And you have a staff report?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The site is located by, it's accessed off of Valley Drive, then proceeding north onto Monks, onto Clemens, and it is highlighted for you. It is the largest lot in this area, as you can see, and it is outlined in yellow. The applicant would like to place a 55-foot high transmission tower for amateur ham radio. This is a very large lot that's involved in this request. It's almost 1 acre, consisting of 42,336 square feet. The A2 is recognized by the code as being more of a rural residential, allowing things in these types of areas because of the larger requirements for setbacks and lot sizes that perhaps wouldn't be as appropriate, say, in a R2 district where the residences are much more dense. The plan is for the tower to be a minimum of 75 feet from the nearest structure and 65 feet from the nearest lot line. This tower is actually a telescopic type of tower. It has a crank on it where it can be raised and lowered, so it will not always be at the 55-foot height. That is the maximum height, presumably to be at that height when the actual ham radio is in operation. It's not to say that it will always be 55-foot high. The topography of this area drops greatly from the roadway as you're heading down towards the rear yard where the tower is going to be placed. Therefore, the appearance surrounding this from the roadway to the north will be that the tower is actually lower than what is being requested. The proposal appears to be appropriate for the area. Staff has not received any objections, and staff does recommend approval of the special use permit. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, is the applicant present and wishing to make any comments?
No, not right now.
Okay. Is there anyone wishing to voice an opinion, either in favor or in opposition? The gentleman in the far back corner, if you would go to the podium, please. Yes.
Good
Okay, I'm Don Strobe, and I live right across from this lot where the gentleman plans to put this. And at first, it didn't bother me, but the more I got investigating this, people tell me that I call my dish network, and they're telling me that that's going to interfere with my dish. Okay, I just want to make sure that everybody crosses all of this.
Yeah, I don't possess the wherewithal to know whether that's right or wrong.
And then I also found out that it interferes with the phones, your portable phone system, is what they're telling me. So I just want to bring this up now and not be quiet, and then I have a problem,
sure.
And then I didn't say nothing.
I understand, but I know we've got ham operators around the community, and I've never heard of a complaint from anyone either on cell phones or transmissions from television.
I haven't either, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
You might be right, but I've never heard of it.
I could offer a comment.
Who was that? Yes.
We've lived at that location about 7 years now, and I've had various wire antennas and various, another vertical antenna mounted on the ground in the backyard in that same vicinity. And I've been on the air, during those 7 years. I don't anticipate using any different methods or operating power or modes of communication that I have in the past. So I don't know if there's been any. I've never been made aware of any interference problems in the neighborhood. So.
Can I ask a question, Tom?
Yeah, Norm's got a question.
I visited the site, and you currently have a tower there now. Is that the tower that you're anticipating putting there, or is that one that's being replaced? Or
the one in the backyard is a vertical antenna in itself. It's just on a pole, ground-mounted.
So that one will be replaced then
by this request? The tower is just the structure, and then there'll be an antenna on top of the tower.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Is there...
It's for a better propagation around the world.
Okay, so are you going to have a stronger signal?
The power output will be the same.
Well, I'll be quite honest with you. We didn't have a whole lot of information either, but we did research it on the internet, and we have loads of information for anybody who's not familiar with it. I can say at this point, we don't have any reception issues, but we do have concerns that with the larger tower, it will cause trouble with our electronics. We use electronics very heavily in our home. And
so do I.
We'd like to know what recourses we have if there is an issue.
Well, like I said, I've never heard of it. Maybe the staff has, or Bill said that he hasn't. And I know there are ham operators around.
Our amateur radio club members around the city always try to cooperate with anybody that has any kind of interference problems. We use wireless in our house. We use cell phones. We use DirecTV. I've been on the air, like I say, for 7 years at that location with that other antenna. And I can't imagine myself why anything would change. The biggest thing that causes interference is mismatches to antennas if you don't install your system properly.
Yeah, if there was going to be interference, I would think we've got a tower farm right up here off of Devil's Glen, and if there's going to be interference, I would think there would be interference from those towers as well, and I've not heard of any. Yes, ma'am.
Can I remind people to go to the podium? Our microphone doesn't pick up the conversations when played back on video.
I live in that area up by that big tower, and it does interfere with reception of certain radio stations.
My daughter lives there for several years, and she never had a problem with anything.
Yes, I've had problems getting certain radio stations that I can get in my car when I drive in other areas of town. I can receive the channels, but when at home, I can't receive them. And I suspect it is that tower. So it does happen.
Okay. Anyone else? Did I see someone else that had their hand up?
Is she referring to the transmission tower at WOC?
I think so. Well, that's what I was referring to.
Yes. I just have a question of information question. Do we not have the ability within our resources, administration resources, to make assessments as to whether or not there is or is not interference problems due to new construction, given that, for instance, most of the people nowadays thinking about buying computer equipment and setting up networks is going to be wide area network radio-based communication, which has not in the past been a big emphasis of interest on the part of communities, but now will be. And I can tell you, as a graduate of Iowa State with a degree in physics, going forward, electronics in the air, radio waves and everything is going to be a bigger concern. Do we not have that kind of resource, or are we intending to develop it so that we can be informative in these discussions rather than just have past experience and whether we feel or feel not that it's going to be a problem?
Greg, you look like you have something you'd like to say.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Greg Jaeger. I'm the city attorney. I'm here just to hear the process this evening. But in terms of radio frequencies, cities are actually preempted from any involvement in those areas. The board has jurisdiction over tower heights, but when it comes to frequency matches or mismatches, that's all regulated by the Federal Communications Commission. Back in the late 80s, we did have an issue with a cell tower. It wasn't a cell tower, it was a ham radio tower, causing some interference with adjoining property owners' land-based telephones. But the city did not have any authority to involve itself in that. We did facilitate the complaint with the FCC, and it was the FCC that did the investigation and helped with the resolution of the issue. So I understand the concern, but if something does happen, regardless of the decision, if something does happen, it's really not anything the city has any jurisdiction of. And so we really won't develop staff or expertise. It's all handled by the FCC. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you. Yes.
My name is Robert Gill. We live right next door, and like I say, we've never had a problem. And you know, once we got this, we didn't investigate it. It's my wife Tammy. She's already talked. Kind of touching on what he said about the FCC. When we looked at that and went on and talked to people who have had ham operators next to them, they have had no problem. But then once they said that tower reaches 20 foot or taller, then they've had problems with everything bleeding into all their electrical lines. And they contacted the FCC and everything else. Basically, all the FCC does is send them a warning letter. They'll investigate it, and they say they'll reprimand you. That's all done. To this day, nothing's ever been done. You know, and that, I mean, that's our concern. We just don't want something to happen, and we have no recourse. And we're at the mercy of our neighbors when we can use our phone, our TV, our computer. All right? We researched. We got a ton of information. I mean, I'm not going to read all this, but I got a ton of stuff here from people who've had no problem ever. And then once the tower got above 20 feet, they started getting problems with it. And you can buy filters, and some of them are pretty expensive, and they're time-consuming. And the thing is, well, I already looked into it. It cost me, if I had to filter everything we have, about $500. And I'm just curious why I would have to pay the $500 for something somebody else is doing. All right. And like I said, we just, you know, we've had no problem. You know, we're pretty good neighbors. They're good neighbors. We're just concerned, you know, when it gets up to 55 feet tall, what it's going to do. So that's why, you know, I'm hoping people have done their homework and they'll check in this for, you know, they give the okay. Because if this all this information, I'll be honest, I don't have one thing positive to say once the tower reaches that tall. From when I went online, I was on for a couple hours, my wife was. I didn't hear one positive thing once that tower reached about 20 feet, 20-some feet tall. And that's just my concern. Because they said once it's up, basically there's nothing you can do. You know, and I mean, he's been a good neighbor, so I don't anticipate problems, but it's just a fact.
you know, if he's on, you know, and some of these hammer operators are on for 3 or 4 hours at a time. You know, example, I come home from work at 6 o'clock. Let's say he's on from 6 to 10. I can't use a computer. I can't use a TV. I can't talk on my cell phone. You know, not a good way to end my day every day. So, like I say, we're not against it. I wish there was more studies out there about it. So I'm just going by what everything we got off the internet about once you reach a certain height on the tower. So, because this guy bought, and even there's a company out in California, they got the best builders in the United States, and they can guarantee that there's no guarantee that they're still going to stop everything. So, you
know. But today you're not experiencing any problems.
No, we never have. We never have. And you know, we've never had a problem. But once I saw how tall the tower was, we wanted to research it. And like it says right here, once you get 20-plus feet, then that's when you're going to start having problems. So I don't know if that's true or not, because this is just what we got off the internet.
Right.
All right. And that's why we just, you know, we're concerned that, because everybody here that had problems with it said basically there's nothing they can do. They said the FCC won't do anything. So.
Well, once the tower is erected, what's the minimum height?
I'm not sure what the minimum was.
What's the minimum height if you're allowed to construct this tower? What's the, it's, I understand it's adjustable, you crank it.
It has a range of 23 to 55.
From down to 23 is the minimum, up to 55.
The top of my existing vertical is at 30, probably about 33 feet.
Yeah.
I've been a ham radio operator since 1969. I've never heard any information about the correlation between the height of an antenna and radio. I've got the top level of ham radio license you could obtain in the five groups that the FCC issues, and I've never heard of that correlation.
Yes, it's news to us, too, so I don't know. This is just everything we got. You know how the internet is. I mean, you know, but we research it and research it, and we got a ton of stuff. And like I said, we've never had a problem with them, never. And, you know, we just want to be aware if something does happen. But what we're told is you have no recourse. And like I say, you know, if worst case scenario, say this is all true, put yourself in our shoes, you come home from work and you can't use your computer, TV, or phone, you know, I mean, I'm hoping, he knows more about it than I do, so I'm hoping it's all correct. But I'm just saying, I'm going by what we got, and that's why I was hoping somebody who knows a little bit more can say, no, this, all that stuff you got is bull, and this is the real facts, you know.
Yeah. So. Well, it's new to us, too. At least it is to me.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody else have any questions?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I recall a few times in the past that you have approved special use permits at least initially on a temporary basis.
Yeah.
I recall just off the top of my head, Home Depot, Fairway, and then you
cement plant.
That temporary to see if there were any problems, and if there were not any problems, then it became permanent. So just thought.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I'd make a comment. I'm an engineer. I work at John Deere. And I have some knowledge about radio frequencies. And as a gentleman, the applicant indicated, and many of you can relate to cell towers, and interference or how a cell tower operates is pretty much based on reception and transmission is based on two things, the amount of power you're putting out and how high your antenna is. And what you're looking for is range, like you said. You're trying to get global coverage rather than North America coverage, probably. In this case here, you indicated, the applicant indicated that he's not changing his operating power. And if you're living right next door and he's not going to change his frequencies that he's operating on currently, and if you're living right next door and not having any interference, unless you have a special circumstance in your house that's different from the neighborhood right now, the likelihood, I can't guarantee anything in this world, the likelihood is you're not going to have any problems. The height issue, if he's not changing the power and he wants to increase his range, both transmission and reception, the only thing left to him is get more height or more antenna up there, and that's what the applicant's intending to do. So if a problem did develop, the likelihood, again, no guarantees, is that if somebody's got some odd electronics in his house that happens to be close to or operating on the same frequencies as the ham operator is intending to do, that person that's too far away to have the problem today could experience some problems. no guarantees on anything. From my experience and understanding, I wouldn't anticipate any problems. We're not seeing any problems today. And I think John's point about making this temporary is probably a good way to address the local neighborhood's fears and prove it out. So what I'm saying is just my opinion, but at the end of the day, if you want to be more comfortable, we could make this thing maybe temporary for contingent on 2 months of operation before it becomes permanent and make sure that everybody is satisfied and there's no problems out there.
I don't know, atmosphere probably has an impact on it too, so maybe like a 3 month trial to
you bet.
Given a chance to experience all of the variations that could occur.
Yep.
But that's a thought too.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay. So
I'd make a motion to approve case 11-03 contingent on a 3 month trial. If there are no problems develop, it becomes permanent. I'll second.
Okay, before we go ahead and vote, is there anyone else that had any comments on it? Okay, we have a motion to yes.
Okay, let's say there is a problem, then what's the next step?
I would ask them to call city staff, and we will relay the information to the board and bring it back to you.
Yeah, if you have interference problems, let us know. He can always, as I understand it, lower that tower down to 23 feet, and we can probably try it again. I guess that would be the alternative.
If they would contact the Community Development Department, we would be the contact point for the board.
Okay, we have a motion, as I said. It's been seconded. Any further discussion?
Yes, after the installation, it would be 3 months. So that could take a little time. So depending upon the permit issued and construction.
From the time it goes into a operation.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the applicant would let us know when you're starting to broadcast, I guess. Okay?
He'd need a building permit, so we'd have the date.
Oh, okay.
So I'd modify my proposal.
Well, I'm thinking not only the building. Well, I guess after the, I don't know how long it takes, but after the building permit is issued, he might be another 2 or 3 weeks before he has it constructed and is in operation, isn't it?
Well, he calls us for an inspection for the foundation, yeah. So we'll know exactly when the tower is
in operation. Okay.
So I'd modify my proposal to include from the start of the purchase of the building permit.
Okay. All right, we have that motion has been amended then to the start at after the building permit has been issued. So any other questions? Okay, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion is carried to pass case 11-030, at least on a temporary basis. Okay, our next item. This is B, case 11-031 at 880 Lincoln Road, a C2 district, a request for a special use permit to allow a drive-up window submitted by Great Western Properties, LLC. Do we have an affidavit of publication?
Yes, we do.
And you have a staff report.
This site is located in the southwest corner of what we all now know as the Burlington Coat Factory lot. What I'll be showing you is simply this area here from now on, and that will be the site, the area inclusive of the site plan. The plan is for a restaurant to go in, and the reason for this request is it will have an associated drive-up window. Duck Creek Plaza and the shops at Duck Creek have had very successful redevelopment. As part of that redevelopment, you have visited many times requests for drive-up window approvals, including Crescent Cleaners at Duck Creek Plaza, McDonald's Restaurant, Duck Creek Plaza, Walgreen Pharmacy at Duck Creek Plaza, Red Ginger at the shops at Duck Creek, Dunn Brothers Coffee at the shops at Duck Creek, and you may recall that you visited this site previously for a different restaurant that was going to have a drive-up window, which was approved, that did not come into reality. The plan before you, I'd like to explain a little bit. Currently at that site, there is a roundabout that has three spokes, one going to the north, one to the south, and then the other to the west. The spoke to the north connects to Middle Road, the spoke to the west connects to Kimberly, and the spoke to the south connects to Lincoln. The reason you're seeing that spoke to the south in a darker color is it is going to be removed as part of this project. This was also already, we were all notified of that when the site plan for Upper Iowa University, which is on this site over here, came through. So this has been the plan all along to eliminate that spoke. So what you're going to have is simply this parcel here, which is part of the overall development, and it will all be internal drives only. You will access from the south through the line being shown here, going counterclockwise around the building to the drive-up window, and then from the adjacent lot at Burlington Coat Factory, if you're coming from the north, you'll simply come right straight down to the drive-up window. The reason for the elimination of that spoke is to facilitate better traffic throughout the area here and eliminate drive-through traffic, which has become a problem for the developers and the owners of the store. Based on the overall analysis of the plan, staff does recommend approval of the special use for the drive-up window.
Okay, thank you,
John. Mr. Chairman.
Is the applicant here and wishing to make any comments?
Jason Holdorf with Mistman representing the client, and I don't have any comments at this time.
All right. Is there anyone else wishing to speak on behalf or in opposition? Okay. It's pretty straightforward, I believe. Anyone on the board have any questions?
No.
I make a motion to approve case 11-031 of 880 Lincoln Road.
Second.
We have a motion. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Not all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion's carried then to approve case 11-031. Our next item is C. This is case 11-032 at 2185 53rd Avenue. This is a C2 district, a request for a variance to allow a drive-through lane in a front yard submitted by McDonald's. Before I ask John for an affidavit of publication, I want to make a comment that I know this is a controversial subject. It has been. The board at our previous meeting spent probably an hour and a half listening to people talk about it. I know the Plan and Zone Commission has had their meeting already, and it's probably just as controversial today as it was a month ago. And I just want to say that when the board passed it originally, it was to approve a drive-up window for a McDonald's. And I can't imagine McDonald's without a drive-up window. But anyway, we passed that. I know it went to Plan and Zone after that, and people have had a lot of comments about it, and we've heard a lot of comments. So I'd rather not listen to all of that for another hour and a half tonight. If you have something pertinent to inject into this discussion, would be willing to listen to it. That's just a comment I wanted to make. So keep it to a minimum. Okay, now, do we have an affidavit of publication? And you have staff report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know what happened to all my street identifiers, so I guess I'll put them on here for you. This being 53rd Avenue, 18th Street coming here, and the involved street in this right here is Falcon Avenue. And you are familiar with the site. The site is for a requested restaurant of McDonald's. As you premised this in March, the board did approve a special use for the drive-up window. For those who are watching on television, we're not revisiting that issue, and that is not under reconsideration this evening. What has evolved throughout this process is especially during the Planning and Zoning Commission, They received many recommendations and requests from the neighbors that the things they wanted to see addressed as part of the site plan approval. And to do that, it has been somewhat redesigned, yet it's all at the same location. And again, it's the same restaurant with the same drive-up use. What has occurred, and I'll probably be toggling back and forth between the old plan and the new plan to explain what the response has been. In responding to the concerns expressed by the neighbors and the Planning and Zoning Commission, as well as staff, the applicant made the following changes to the site plan. One of the items that was brought up to the developer is that the building was too close to residential, the residential primarily being in this area down here. Therefore, the building has been switched at a 90-degree angle counterclockwise and moved considerably farther to the north away from the adjoining residential area. Another item that was brought up by residents is that the dumpster enclosure was placed at the closest part possible towards the adjoining residential area. So during this redesign, it has been removed from here and taken all the way over to here, and the dumpster enclosure has now been moved 160 feet farther away from the residential area. There was considerable discussion about the conflict problems between pedestrians who parked in these areas right here and then traveling in this direction into the restaurant while drive-in traffic came through here. And to address that, now people will be accessing through the entrances here, and the drive-up has been completely removed from that area. And the drive-up will proceed over here and come out and have absolutely no conflict with the pedestrians who are parking in front and proceeding into the McDonald's restaurant. And the last item that was addressed in this redesign, this being the area where you place your orders. As you look at that, both here and here is where the speaker pedestals would have been placed, and those pedestals, in order to serve the driver's side of the car, would be pointed in this direction towards the residential. Now the speaker pedestals will be over here, and they will be pointed in this direction away from the residential. The previous site plan met all of our requirements. Due to the neighbors' concerns and at the direction of the Planning and Zoning Commission as well as staff direction, these numerous changes were made to accommodate the items that went beyond what was required by the code. In order to accomplish these things, to address all of the items that the neighbors wanted, it became necessary to move the drive-in lane to where it is at. Technically, the drive-in lane is within 10 feet of the front yard setback. That's being done on purpose here to address these needs and to keep the drive-up traffic as far away from the residential as possible. The applicant did not self-impose these conditions. They were imposed by us. Combination of neighborhood complaints, concerns, combination of the board, commission recommendations and staff recommendations. Therefore, we do recognize that this hardship was not imposed by the applicant himself. And I believe that that's the Reader's Digest version of how this came back to you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Is the applicant here wishing to make any comments?
Good evening, members of the board. We've got individuals from the construction department with McDonald's Real Estate and their legal counsel. If there's any questions, we'll defer any answers to any of the comments that are made till later, if that's okay with you.
Mm-hmm. Could you give us your name for the record,
please? Yes, Ted Ravitzer. I'm with Iowa Realty representing McDonald's.
Thank you.
Okay, is there anyone else wishing to speak? in favor of or in opposition? Oh, okay.
That's our handbook.
Yes.
My name's Pete Molt. I live on Dove Court. The last time we met, when it came down to votes, the decision, based on what your interpretation was and what you were going to decide on, was whether was the drive-up fell under your interpretation to be similar to a sonic drive-through or drive-up restaurant. If that's true, if that's still the impression that you have, then it really doesn't make a difference whether we have this meeting or not, because they don't have a setup like that. If the intent on this meeting is to approve for a drive-up window, I guess I'd just like to have some clarification of that.
To approve a variance that's encroaching on the side yard setback or front yard setback.
I'm sorry, perhaps I didn't make that clear. This is the issue.
Yeah.
You can see that portion of the drive-in lane is within the required front yard setback, the setback being delineated on this graphic with the red line. Driveways and drive lanes are allowed in front yards. Every house has your drive-in and comes through. Mm-hmm. Staff interprets that it is intended to be a driveway this way, perpendicular to the roadway. But to accommodate these changes, it was made parallel to the roadway. So that's the issue.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Again, is there anyone else?
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to approve.
Wait a minute, we've got, got another comment.
I don't have an argument with the proposal. My name is Tom Fallis. I live across the street at 2607 Heather Glen Circle. Over the years, this particular area has been controversial and gets a lot of attention. Likewise, during all those discussions, there was an understanding, or at the end of the discussion, an understanding of what was the permanence of these decisions with regard to these special adjustments such as setback. For instance, most of the folks in this area, both housing and the shopping area, have stiff setback requirements. Mm-hmm. This would be a deviation from that. Mm-hmm. Who would this carry with the property or just with the occupant? For instance, this setback change. In other words, if they back out, does a setback ruling continue to live with that property, or does that revert back to?
It would revert back.
You would have to word it that way.
You'd have to condition it that way.
This design stays
that
with
it
this
stays
building.
This design.
But if it should become another building.
Yeah.
Yes.
It would
another
be
issue. Yeah.
But to be more specific, answering this question, it is recorded at the recorder's office, the decision and order, so it is. If they do what they say they're going to do, it does become permanence. There's some permanence attached to it, yes.
Okay.
Well, then I will, if there's nobody else who wants to say anything.
Anybody else? Okay.
Make a motion to approve case 11-032 for a request for variance to allow a drive-through lane in the front yard submitted by McDonald's.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll have a second. I'll second it.
Seconded by Norm. Is there any further discussion?
I'd just like to make a comment that this is really a good example of the neighborhood and the city and McDonald's and all parties trying to work out a decent solution for everybody. And so I think this is a great compromise.
I think the city's done a remarkable job, and so has McDonald's. Yeah. I thank them for their efforts.
And it isn't done yet, so. I know it's got some stages.
For those who are here, this certainly is going to go to site plan, planning and zoning, and City Council as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, again, we have a motion that's been seconded. No further discussion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion's carried then to approve case 11-032. Moving on to D, this is case 11-034 at 5776 California Drive. This is an R1 district, a request for a variance to reduce the required front yard setback from 40 feet to 35 feet to allow for construction of a house submitted by Mark C. Wood Builder, LTD. Do we have an affidavit of publication?
Yes, we do.
And you have a staff report.
This site is located west of Middle Road and south of Hopewell, and it is being delineated with the yellow box around the lot. The R1 district has a minimum front yard setback of 30 feet. It also, in an effort to encourage a aesthetically appealing look throughout the neighborhood, it requires staggering of some front yard setbacks. 33% of the setbacks in an R1 are to be at the 35-foot setback, 17% are to be at the 40-foot setback, and 50% at the 30-foot setback. The lot in question is one of the few in the subdivision that does have that maximum 40-foot setback. As you can see on the graphic before you, you have these three that are 30, we have 35s, 30s, 35s, and only these have the 40-foot setback. This is the lot in question. The rear lot of this is adjacent to the Hopewell Creek drainage area. And as the site visit shows you, when you go onto the site here, as you walk towards the back of this lot, there is a very steep, quick drop that goes down into that drainage basin. And this is the reason that the builder is asking to place it at the 35-foot setback for the front yard rather than 40. It's simply a request to try to maximize as much rear yard as possible. And when I say rear yard, I mean usable rear yard. There will be additional rear yard, but it'll be after that drop-off and basically unusable to the family that eventually builds there. As you can see, there's still going to be the staggered setbacks in this neighborhood. There is going to be the feature of having the curve here, so certainly is not going to be a straight linear line, mm-hmm. such as the intent of the staggering is meant to cover. Having said all that, and while acknowledging it, it is staff is still reluctant to cite a hardship on an unbuilt lot. Yep. So I believe that covers the issues that the applicant has with this site, and I believe we might be here to answer any questions.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is the applicant here wishing to make comments? Yes.
I'm Mark Wood Builder, and I think John, he addressed things fairly well. A couple issues there. This is the lot number 8. It's the first lot where the rear yard where the trees begin there. Evidently the farmer planted a row of walnut trees at one time there, and I'm assuming that when the developer developed the addition, it kind of hampered him on grading the slope out like the other lots to the north would have. And our request to reduce it, the front yard, by 5 foot is so we can cut down that steep slope on the back rear yard there, have a little flat area for recreational area where most people who have kids play, and with that steep slope we'd have it could cause a safety problem for young children, so to speak. It's on a curve right there, on the start of a curve, so the curve kind of gives an illusion of a setback anyway. And I don't know, just looking at the addition, I think they could have picked a different lot to put the 40-foot setback on. Any of the lots coming in on the right-hand side there, they're graded out on the back side. It would have fit them much better. And this one here, we're just, you know, just for that flat area, it would help, and then we could, we own the property to the south there, that lot number 9, and I think you people visited the site. We'd grade it out similar to that, where we don't have that steep slope on the backyard. Thank you.
Okay. Is there anyone else wishing to speak either in favor of or in opposition? Okay. Any questions from the board?
I visited the site, and the lady to the north was all in favor of this additional 5 feet added to this residence. She said, indicated it was going to be a bungalow. Is that correct, Mark?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, she was happy with it.
I guess my comment would be that it appears that the setback was established on this lot without benefit of a topographical view plan or a site visit, because it appears to be absolutely the wrong place to put the 40-foot setback. So it appears that Mr. Wood is a victim of maybe some erroneous planning years gone by.
Well, and everybody knows how I feel about making the changes on undeveloped lots. Thank you, John, for addressing that. But I also don't think it's right that somebody else's lot interferes with your ability to put your home on a reasonably placed location of your lot as well. As sometimes, as some of these homes, having the more forward setback, I think, exacerbates this problem. So I'm willing to amend my thinking on this particular lot because of the topography of it.
John, refresh my opinion or my memory. What was the big issues across the street on Hopewell that were fairly controversial, and we had probably 4 or 5 cases come before us? Was that also in regards to reducing the front yards?
Was a sidewalk or something?
That was
Emery Court,
size.
I think, is what you're discussing.
That's right.
Recalling.
Exactly. Yep.
That was rear yard setback.
That was rear yard setback based on drainage.
And it was too much house trying to go onto the size of lots.
It was more of a house design issue, I think the board felt.
Yes.
Than it was a hardship issue due to topography issues and things like that.
Okay. Seems, as I recall, it seems like a lot of the same conversations. The developer had a set yard size. In this case, it's affected by topography, but also was affected on Emery because of the school and that slope up going up the hill there, and trying to maximize the size of the house that they could get on a lot there as well. This is not about maximizing the house so much as getting the rear yard setback, so there is a distinction there. I just want to try to make sure that we don't get too inconsistent, especially in neighborhoods adjacent to each other, and it's kind of hard to explain what the distinctions are.
Well, as I recall, the one that was on the
Emery Court.
East side of Emery, which would have had the larger yards and the ravine in the back and all of that, there were other ways the houses could have been positioned in order to accommodate mm-hmm. the lot, and there were other sizes that the house could have been, but they chose to have the maximum mm-hmm. size on there, which was creating their own hardship.
Mm-hmm.
Where when I visited this site, I don't know how you would build a home anywhere but where they're talking about building it now, just because of the topography of it. So I think they're mm-hmm. really stuck here geographically with what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there anyone else? Do we need a motion, I guess.
I'll make a motion to approve case 11-033 at 5776 California Drive.
I'll second.
Okay.
It.
It's 034.
034. I'm sorry.
I'll second the motion for 11-034.
Okay. We have a motion. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, same sign. Motion's carried to approve case 11-034. Our next item is E. This is case 11035 at 2501 53rd Avenue. This is a C2 district. A request for a special use permit to allow a bar within an outdoor service area submitted by the clubhouse. We have an affidavit of publication.
We do.
And you have a staff report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The site is located
southeast of the intersection of 53rd Avenue and 18th, and the building footprint itself is outlined in yellow on the graphic being displayed. The applicant would like to place a 20 by 40 foot outdoor service area to the rear or south of this building to accommodate outdoor seating for use of patrons inside who perhaps would like to go out after having purchased a drink at the bar. This business is a golf simulation business, and it is primarily a golf simulation business. It is not the bar, the interior bar of this is ancillary, and it is subordinate to the primary golf simulator business. Currently, the only activities that are taking place in this area right here is staff parking and staff entering and exiting the building. This would be a significant departure from that and would be placing the actual outdoor service area immediately adjacent to these residences which back up to this lot. I also pointed out in the report that this site is unique throughout this entire structure here. It is the only one that has a very large covered entryway that is on the north side of the building. If you were to consider an outdoor service area and it were allowed in that area right there, it would be shielded from the residential area here with the sound being directed away. Staff was contacted by a Mr. John Sheets of 5247 Brentwood Drive, who indicated that he was opposed to the outdoor service areas. You should at your each of your sites have a letter from a Lawrence Barker, and it's very short, so I'll go ahead and enter it into the record verbally. My name is Lawrence Barker. I reside at 2579 Lindenwood Drive. I'm writing with regards to your Zoning Board of Adjustment meeting on Thursday, June 9th, 2011, in particular to case 11035 and the special use permit request submitted by the clubhouse. I wish to go on record as being in agreement with staff recommendation that the special use permit not be granted as it pertains to the outside service area to the south side of the building. If the special use were allowed, I believe it would not only increase the noise level in our neighborhood, but also decrease the property values. I appreciate the Board of Adjustment's consideration in this matter. The interior bar in this appears to be very logical. In clubhouses for golf courses have the ancillary bar. People don't go to those as a destination for a bar. They go to it as a destination for a golf place and then have perhaps a drink afterwards. Staff has no concerns about the bar on the inside of this. Staff's concern is with the outdoor service area, particularly as it's related to the south side of the building, and we cannot make a recommendation for approval of that portion of this request because we don't feel it passes the criteria in the code that says the proposal will not cause substantial injury to the value of other property in the neighborhood. So as it's related to the outdoor service area on the south side of the building, staff does not recommend approval. Certainly the interior bar staff has no issues with. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you, John. Is the applicant here wishing to make any comment? Yes, sir.
My name is Chris Larson. I'm one of the owners of the clubhouse. And the reason for the outdoor seating that we're requesting there is to keep the smokers out back. We've got a lot of kids that roll through the center. A lot of kids that go through the center, especially with tarpons, right around the happy hour time. It's just kind of the nature of the beast that we're going to have customers that are going to do that. And we're really trying to encourage it to be in a fenced-in area that's not visible to out front. And it's going to be a nice, clean fence, 8 foot high with an awning, to keep everything blocked in.
What's your intended hours of operation?
7 a.m. to 2 a.m.
Okay.
Okay. All right, thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to speak, either in favor of or in opposition?
Hi, I'm Debbie Potts. I live at 2448 Lindenwood Drive. You can see my two children there. I'm sorry. I am just...
Really?
I want to laugh. I mean, I understand you're a business person, you're doing, but I just want to laugh at that. So you don't want the smoking to be in the front of your building, but yet two of the houses who they're going to be butting up against have, what is he, 18 months old? I don't even know how many kids there are in our neighborhood, but you don't want it out front where other adults would smell it, but you're going to pollute our backyards with that. We also all have animals, and when these animals are out there, any noise, because you can hear the sensation. Yes. That when their workers go out back to take to have a cigarette, yes, we smell it, and we are four houses down. Our dogs start to go crazy because they hear the noise back there. So we have to make sure our dog goes out at a certain time because we know when they have their breaks, and it's just... You should refrain from that comment because I think you're going to hear a lot more. But we have 8 o'clock bedtimes. We have everything for that to go on until 2 in the morning. It's not sitting well with our neighborhood. So they've taken into consideration our kids.
Thank you.
I just want to thank you at least for your honesty when the question was presented to you. At least you were honest, and I do appreciate that.
Again, I'm Tom Follis. I live directly across from that.
You're getting your exercise
location.
Tonight.
I'm sorry?
You're getting your exercise
yes.
Tonight.
It's been very informative and part of the community. Thank you very much for the opportunity. I agree with the statements against this, just as a general resident in that area, but I would also then want to address basically other comments that were made about maybe a contingency putting it on the other side in the covered area, which is equally not desirable, so that you would understand, the occupant would understand that there would be a great deal of argument against that. First of all, we've already had situations where outside activity has, I'm sorry. Okay.
No, go ahead.
Outside activity in that particular area that where there was demonstration, a lot of partying going on to introduce the new businesses and so forth. The noise is just overwhelming from that, just that one exposure. We also understand from previous years' experience where the sports bar in the Golden Triangle was given its permit to have outside bands and all that stuff, that the noise for whatever reason was reaching from there to here. So there's some dynamic in the geography here where the noise is just not going to be an issue that can be put down. So that plus the idea that you're wanting to do the outside towards the residential, I would argue against it and caution that it's probably not the best place for that kind of activity. It's probably a good place for an indoor bar and golf exercise area. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if
yes.
When I mentioned Mr. Sheets contacting staff, I'm glad he brought that up. He too was in objection to the front as well. His residence is right over here and said because of all the hard surface that the noise would be directed right across it. So I appreciate him bringing that up.
Okay. Is there anyone else?
Hi, my name's Martha Nankavell, and my property is one of those. I'm next door to Debbie, and so we are directly behind this area as well. Prior to our purchasing our home about 7 years ago, I went to the city, and I asked them, okay, we've got an open field. What's going in here? And the planning department was excellent about showing me the physical plans, the drawings, of that structure that was actually built there. However, when we were discussing the tenants, we were told that this would be upscale retail and a coffee shop. The coffee shop was meant to be where the two mirror images would join, and that would be right in the beginning, in the middle there. I was also told that the coffee shop would have restrictions on when it would be operating so that there would not be noise to the neighbors directly behind it. We're in a situation where I don't remember being asked if it was fine to have a bar right behind my house is point number one. Perhaps I missed that letter, which you guys are good about sending out, so that's possible in a busy life. So I'm very upset about there being a bar there to begin with. As stated, we are a neighborhood full of children. We are a neighborhood of well-cared-for properties. It is all of our desires to maintain our property value. And I can tell you that when they put up the beautiful Christmas lights on that building, I can hear them putting them up inside my house. So the noise carries dramatically, not just subtly, and that is a minuscule noise in relation to any kind of outdoor activities in that area. I was also not aware that the beach house, which is what used to be Northwoods, is now constructing an outdoor seating area. I went past there this afternoon on my way to this meeting. That is now appearing, I was told, hearsay, that it would be on the north side of the building. It isn't. It's on the west side of the building. It's on the northwest side of the building, but it is on the west side facing 18th Street, from what it appears to be at this point. They're growing their property. They're growing their, growing their outdoor area. So if we're talking about putting in areas and expanding, we are already getting more noise than we bargained for. We're already getting different tenants than we bargained for. And the fact that this business is going in here, if it is within closed doors and it is not having any exterior areas, it's too late. I can't argue against it now. Apparently they are already a tenant. But I can tell you that any noise coming from the back or the front comes directly into our homes. And as far as that area that you showed that only has people coming and going from work, no, the garbage cans are there from what used to be Northwoods. Every time they come and pick up their garbage, we can hear it in our house. It was waking my kids up when we first moved in. So I think we need to be sensitive to being so close, because we are so close to this area. And I would seriously hope that the council would go along with what you state on your website as being your mission statement, and that is one of the first points is that Bettendorf is a city for families. So I hope you'll continue to keep that as your primary concern as you're attracting people into our area and planning the future of not only this commercial area, but other commercial areas in the city. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else?
So just to kind of let everybody know, we're not just a bar. We're an indoor country club. We're family friendly. Children of all ages can be in there. Adults, kids, it's a golf center. Excuse me. We do have alcohol, and that does go along with smoking. So we're very conscious of the fact that the houses are very close, and that's why we'd like to have a fence. We'd like to have an awning. We'd like to keep it quiet. And really, the entranceway coming in, that's what we're trying to. If you're out on the back patio, you're out there for that reason. But if you're coming through the front door, you might be an eight-year-old coming to hit golf balls. So, I mean, really what we're trying to do is contain what's going to people are going to do anyway, and, you know, have it in a controlled environment. We do understand that there's houses right there, and we do understand that it...
2 a.m., that's what I'm concerned about. It's just that family friendly, 2 a.m.
You know, there's actually a lot of people that are. There's a lot of service people that, you know, they're waiting tables till 11, 12 at night. They don't get to play in the daytime. They're coming in to play afterwards. So we've had a nice mix of people. It's a good clientele. It's a lot of neighborhood people. It's a lot of members of the country clubs in the area, the people that play at the public courses. So we're not going after being, by any means, a raging bar that's causing noise for the neighborhood or really causing any trouble for the neighborhood. I mean, we'd like to be friendly, and, you know, you guys can come in and check it out. Everything we've done in there so far, at least in our opinion, is on an upscale level, and you know, we're really trying to do everything we can to make it a family-friendly establishment.
Okay, thank you. There's someone else in the back there wanted to make a comment. Yeah.
Yes, my name is Mike Porter. I'm at 2558 Lindenwood Drive. My property resides right opposite to the, I guess, the southeast corner, right behind Sensations. I've got to say, I moved in there in 1991, and just want to make a comment again that I did talk to the Planning and Zoning Commission persons. I talked to realtors. I just want to make it a fact that, you know, they told me that it might be residential, but if it did go to commercial, it would be 9 to 5, doctor's or dentist's office, upscale, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what happens. But I know I've attended many meetings, you know, talked to Frank's Pizza, you know, and that kind of thing. We went through, I guess, city variances. I don't know what the code is exactly again, but I think next to residential, and you could put commercial, I think you have to obtain a variance to have a bar, correct? Is that correct, Mr. Jager? Just want to make a
there are various commercial districts within the city. Some of the commercial districts would allow an alcohol serving establishment as a permitted use. Some would allow them as a special use.
Right.
So
okay.
It shouldn't impact your argument to the board either way.
But the point was, I know when Frank's came in, he had to get a special use permit to come in. I got to make the argument my neighbor did there when they did approve this subdivision to come in behind us. We were told again it'd be 9 to 5 operations, not a bar. Okay, it would be 9 to 5. Just got to say it doesn't seem to be happening in that direction. Also, we also didn't know about Northwoods getting an outdoor, you know, expansion and having outdoor seating as well. So I got to say with my neighbor too, I just don't understand. We don't seem to be informed about those things when they do happen. I will make the comment I'm opposed to it primarily because of noise. We've got a dumpster behind us there. The workers from Sensations are there. That we can hear them talking in the backyard, and we go out and sit outside. We hear doors shut. We've had stereos from the, you know, people that come to work in the morning, in the afternoons, and they'll have their stereos going. And like my neighbor once said, he said, I don't know why when they show up they don't turn their stereo off, but, you know, loud stereos right next to neighborhoods is not great either. I got to do say this, been around to a lot of the local drinkeries establishments when I have a beer, but I notice most of the smokers will go outside. I don't think that's appropriate next to residential to have a smoking section, you know, to come out after they do, you know, golf and have a golfing, you know, experience, and then go out and have a cocktail. But then when they have to have their smoke, come outside, it'll be right next to residential. I don't think that's right. But about every drinking establishment you've seen, people stand around at every you know, every location in Bettendorf that I've been to, people come out and smoke. They have to have a place to go, and I think that's what this is all about in the back. And I don't think the noise issue with that is complementary to a neighborhood that's you know, immediately adjacent to that property.
Okay. Thank you. Bill?
Just so rumors don't get started here tonight, I'm Bill Connors, Community Development Director and Chief Building Official. I did the plan review on the additions that are going on the west side of the former Northwoods. Those are to be enclosed. They're enclosed indoor waiting areas for people waiting to be seated. So they were reminded that if they were going to have any outdoor seating, that it was approved on the north side of the building.
So it has been approved
on
the north side?
When the original site plan came through. So whether they plan on utilizing it or not, I don't know.
Right about there, isn't it, Bill?
But what's going on the west side is going to be fully enclosed indoor waiting area. Thank you, Mr.
Chair. Yeah, thank you, Bill. Yes, sir.
Hi, I'm AJ Paul. I'm co-owner of the clubhouse with Chris. I just want to let it be known that kind of the spirit of what we're asking to do here is we have customers who it's just a fact they will be tobacco users, and if they walk out back to have a cigarette, then if they take their drink with them, all of a sudden, you know, we're breaking the law. And so we want to do what's appropriate. So if a customer does just walk out that back door, there's a controlled environment where that will be, you know, within code, and everything will be fine. If we don't do this, you know, they couldn't take their drinks out, but somebody would go out back, and they'd be, you know, aimlessly wandering even closer to residential as they would otherwise be when we have this fence and an enclosure and an awning keeping them from being just, you know, free form out the back door. So, I mean, we understand that we are up against houses, and we're doing everything we can to be respectful of that. I mean, we have been open for a while now, and we've had big crowds there till 2 a.m., and I just want to make, we have been making every attempt to keep the noise under control and to have it not be a problem. I was under the impression that that was the case, that since we had been open, that there hadn't been an overly disturbing amount of noise or really anything that's noticeable. And if that's not the case, I'd love to know about it. But, yeah, we're not trying to, you know, move everybody and put them in front of your houses. We're trying to kind of keep it controlled is what we're trying to do. And so I just hope that clears things up a little bit.
I just have to ask a follow-up question. Is there not a good idea in locking your back doors of your establishment so you don't threaten us with vagrants?
My understanding is we have to have three working fire exits, so no.
Okay. Anything else?
My name is Chris Brees, and I live at 2492, which is right smack behind that little 40 by 20 foot area. I have three children. My children love to play in the yard. Currently, when those tenants are outside having conversations as they have their cigarettes, we can hear that. That's a conversation in the middle of the day. I can also hear Martha outside in her yard, and I can hear some of the other neighbors. Conversation in a yard between 9 and 5 is one thing. Having people outdoor smoking with their cocktails until 2 in the morning is a completely different story. Sensations, smell. I love Chinese food, love Oriental food. Comes through my window every day. I like that smell. I don't mind that. I would not want the smell of smoke coming through my windows into my house, into my children's lungs, each and every day until 2 o'clock in the morning. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else?
My name is Lynn Moore, and my address is 2406 Lindenwood Drive. My house is right behind my house is Northwood, soon to be another restaurant. I had the experience of a business behind my house. They serve alcohol. I could hear the door shut open 1 o'clock in the morning. I could hear the dump truck came at 5 o'clock in the morning. I came out on 18th Street, pick up trash, you name it, I pick it up. You cannot bring another business to my neighborhood with 2 o'clock operation hour. We have children in that neighborhood. You cannot allow another business to come in. And I'm not talking about the value of the homes, that's important, but the value of our health. We are proud to be here in the city of Bettendorf. I have been in this house for 16 years. And as Mike Porter said earlier, I was told the same thing. Behind my home will not be a bar. Will be only 9 to 5 businesses. Northwood Camp, no, Beaver East Camp are gone. Northwood Camp and gone. And I'm waiting to see what else the new business will apply. So I do ask the council not to allow this business to have the bar close to our neighborhood.
All right, thank you. Anyone else?
I'm Tyler Drever. I live just to the right of that yellow slide. That's Tom's house. While addressing the nature of the slippery slope we've introduced with allowing the McDonald's to come in, we've all compromised and allowed it. I am very nervous as what's going to happen to the right of this in the open field. If we start allowing bars, I don't know what the beach house is going to entail. And the clubhouse, I mean, that's fine. I might even go there and golf. That's fine. I'm not going to go out back. Nobody should go out back. It should be for service employees to come in and out. I already hear them. I understand I live there. I'm willing to put up with a certain amount of stuff. The employees from, I don't know if it's Sensation or Olive Tree, come out in the winter, start their cars for 20 minutes to warm it up. That's fine. But like I said, they leave their radios way loud. And they close at 9:30 or 10. So that's the time every single day in the winter that it does it. I understand. Okay, 15 minutes and then they're going to drive away. That's fine. This is going to be all the time. I don't know why they're being allowed to stay open until 2. I remember Beaver's East. We frequented that bar all the time. They sponsored our softball team. We had to be out of there by 10:30. The bar always had to be closed. Mm-hmm. He kicked us out every single time. Thursday nights, we would go there. Why are these places being allowed to stay open so late? If something's changed, that's fine. Sorry, that's it.
Okay, thank you.
My name is Pete Molt, and I live on the other side of 18th. But with the comment of you can't lock the door because it's got to be three active fire escape or doors for escaping emergency. There's a typical door. It's called a panic door. It can be instituted on the inside of the building. So if the door is locked, it allows it to open. It allows it to set off an alarm that there isn't, that the door has been opened or that there's a situation that has arisen that it needs to be open. It can also be set up so that it can be accessed from the outside.
We already have those doors installed.
Okay. So there's no reason why that door shouldn't be locked now, and there shouldn't be people outside smoking in that area anyway.
All right. Is that it? Yes, sir.
I again like just like to ask, since we have been open and we are currently open till 2, we have been for a little while, have there been any disruptions or disturbances or specific times when there's been a problem with us, not with Sensation or Olive Tree, but with the clubhouse?
Yes, the noise level has increased. I have a standing account at the safety house down on 53rd Street where we buy earplugs on a monthly basis. So I don't go to sleep without earplugs. And with that, I have had a couple of nights where we took care of it. Over the last couple of months, we've had some accidents. People get in their cars, they're outside of your business. They turn their radios up. They peel rubber in the parking lot. All that is just added activity. After 10 o'clock, we were conditioned to do that after 10 o'clock. Now this is different. Yeah,
okay. And the lady in the back, you have a comment?
My name is Kelly Meyer. I live at 2459 Lindenwood Drive, so I'm not on the map because I'm across the street. However, I have a small child, and all of our kids do play in that neighborhood. So I'd like to address the issue of the excuse of we want to have a patio so our people can go outside and smoke and have their drink so that we're not breaking the law. So I understand you need to be a respectable business. You know, you have to contain your people. But putting them out there in a patio until 2 a.m. is going to invite congregating, having a good time, which is great, spending more money in your business, which great, I want your business to succeed. I don't want it to succeed outside in our backyards, okay? 2 a.m., let's face it, you guys aren't going to be going out there going, shh, you know, the babies went to sleep at 8 o'clock at night. You're going to be like, yeah, let's get some more drinks to these people. It's going to be loud. It's going to be not just probably some kind of music out there. It's going to be people talking. It's going to be things spilling. Let's face it, people get a little bit of alcohol in them. They have a good time. The volume level goes up. So until 2 a.m. outside, so that you're not worried about, oh, I've got someone that walked outside with a cocktail, so I'm breaking the law, I think is a ludicrous argument. So I just think it's disrespectful to the entire neighborhood and the families in the neighborhood to have an outdoor patio in our backyards until 2 a.m.
All right, thank you. Okay, are we finished? Okay.
John, a question for you. Has anybody or have the staff considered what the impact is to service deliveries by basically cutting that that area in half?
Thought I had too. It narrows that. You're
correct.
Sure.
It obviously is wide enough to let the vehicle pass, but it does constrict it. It seems to me like it may be not significant, but it just seems like that width was designed there for a reason to support the service deliveries to the establishment. I don't know what the ordinance requires, but it seems like that constricting like that's just an opportunity for a problem, a safety problem.
Plus, there's cars that park.
Well, and when the other building is built, it's designed for service access, fire engines, et cetera, to get through there.
Yeah.
It will restrict it by obviously 20 feet.
So that means that there's 20 feet left.
I designed this graphic using our GIS system.
Mm-hmm.
Which gives a fairly good approximation of what those measurements really are under these conditions, and that's about it. So you cut it
about
it
in half then?
Yes.
When I walked out there and looked at the property, that was my feeling, is that it's, I hate to use the word safety, but it's just not a desirable situation for the tenants, not just the applicant, but the other tenants there too that have to live with that restriction and all their service deliveries and drivers and what have you. So I'm a little nervous about that, in addition to what the neighborhood is saying.
Well, and I agree with everything that you're saying, but more importantly, I agree with no business or resident having a negative impact on another business or resident. As you guys know me by now, I've been doing this for a long time. You guys know where I stand on this. And I think if somebody else's decision reduces the quality of life for others, we should be respectful of that decision. And I sincerely, while I appreciate it, I want you guys to be successful and plan on going to the business as soon as I possibly can, because I have golfers in the family, God help me. They want to go there and they want to do that, but I think that that's a service entry only, and I think that's what it should be used for. And I think we should consider the integrity of the neighborhood and do the best we can to provide services to the neighborhood that improve. We all want somewhere to go eat. We all want with something within walking distance. We want the variety. We don't just want houses next to us, but I think respectful is the way we need to approach this. And so I will not vote in favor of this.
Okay.
I concur what was said by the previous two people, but I'll make a motion to deny case 11-035 at 2501 53rd Avenue.
And I will second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion to deny. It's been seconded. Is there further discussion?
Back
here
for a second.
Yeah. Big brother is watching.
I know, it's so creepy.
Oh.
We just want to be clarified here. The special use permit for the bar is twofold. It's interior and exterior. Through the special use on the interior, you can make conditions on that. One of those conditions can be there will be no type of patrons accessing the south side of the building. Perhaps another condition will be there's no outdoor service area either to the south or the north.
Yeah, I think that we were implying that. So,
make sure you're approving a special use permit, but you want to make provisions on that deny the outdoor service areas or patrons accessing the south side of the building I just want to make sure we...
If we denied it, we'd be denying everything.
And you now have no control over who accesses the rear of the building.
Yeah, right.
So...
The request was just for the rear of the building, so we should encompass the whole...
To allow a bar with outdoor...
It's a bar with an outdoor service area component.
Yeah.
And I am not in favor of the outdoor service component.
That's what I thought, and I just want to make sure we're
and
wording this
I'm
so
not
that you
necessarily
have
in favor of the until 2 a.m. component either. But I don't know what latitude we have in that. And that I do remember Beaver's East... they were in a residential area. I've been here my whole life. I love Bettendorf. And I think everybody does a phenomenal job doing the best we can in these economic times. But I do remember Beaver's East having to close their doors and be respectful of the residents. So, but I don't know what latitude I have in there, and I don't want to overstep my reach here. I am saying I'm not in favor of the outdoor portion of it.
I think you can... put restrictions on it however you feel, but I think Norm in his motion was denying the whole thing, and we need to clarify that you can allow the indoor and restrict the outdoor. No outdoor activities.
But the 2 a.m.
Do we need to be more specific than that? No outdoor activities?
That gives you control of what's going on
Okay, but that's specific enough for the purview of what our conversation is, correct?
So Norm needs just to rephrase your motion. I'm making a motion to deny case number 11-035 at 2501 53rd Avenue for any outdoor special use area, front or rear.
And allowing the indoor,
that's correct. They have a license for that. And also zoning or the tavern license, if I can ask Greg to comment on that. When you have a liquor permit, there's hours of operation, so they're fulfilling their hours of operation, and that's in the zoning of a commercial area as this is, so you can't deny that. And if the area is zoned for a liquor or a bar, it has to go in. It's zoned for it. Is that correct, Greg?
Make a condition on an hours of use, though?
No.
That's not it.
Let Greg comment.
In something like this, I would really like to take a few moments to do some research, and I would do that and get back to you. Part of it is I don't have my research materials here. I will tell you that I'm not aware of times where the city has limited the hours of operations of alcohol serving establishments. Restaurants generally on their own will end their hours of operation in the later evening hours simply because there's no business.
Mm-hmm.
So if Beaver's East as an entity limited their hours of operation to 11 o'clock at night, that would be something that would be within their business discretion, not within the authority of the city to regulate their hours. As far as I know, and I've been here a fair number of years, I don't recall of an instance where the city has limited the hours of operation of a business within the city. But as I say, to do justice to the issue, if you want me to do some research on it, I would be glad to do that. I would want to look at whether there were any special uses at Beaver's East when it was first established, whether there were any special uses when Frank's was first established. And off the top of my head, I simply don't have that.
I can't think of any. I've been around for a long time, too, Greg.
Years ago, that State Street had many, many taverns or bars or whatever. There might have been 15 or so on that one street, and there was hours of operation, especially one that didn't do well down by Meadow Lane Dairy down there. Remember when they were in business? Mm-hmm. And there was hours then, Greg, so that goes way back.
Mm-hmm. That would be back in the early 70s at the time when...
60s and 70s,
yeah,
when Case Company was going real well.
Well, when liquor license, when people who could consume alcohol were in their years of 18 and 19.
Right,
and
yeah. Mm-hmm.
At that point, that was actually before cities had home rule, and sort of the rules of the game changed somewhat after home rule. But I think hours of operation for service of alcohol is something that's controlled by the state rather than by the city.
Okay.
Certainly the chapter 123 of the state code has hours of operation and prohibitions against serving after hours. And so what you would want me to do, if you want me to do further research, would be to determine the nature and extent of the city's authority under home rule to impose additional regulations above what the state code has mandated for hours of operation on service of alcohol. It's not anything that
I don't think that's necessary unless that's a problem.
Because something I want to make mention of, and your hand's up in the back, but I heard you loud and clear that you're primarily an indoor facility that's providing simulated golf swings, providing that kind of service to people. You're not designed to be a bar. You're providing alcohol to your clientele. And I think if you're operating in the spirit of that and not trying to have a full-blown bar, there's once again compromise here, and I hear them loud and clear trying to be good neighbors to you guys in that respect. And I think if we control the outside use, I think that there will be a compromise of happiness here.
I guess I'd make a statement that I'm strongly against the Board of Adjustments getting involved in setting liquor establishment hours of operation.
Right.
We got enough issues, let alone get into that.
You don't want to do that?
No.
That's a council issue.
That's why I said I don't want to overextend what I'm, I mean, I'm not happy either, but it's out of our purview.
Okay, as I understand it, we've got a motion before us. It's been seconded.
I believe the motion is to approve the special use permit conditional that there be no outdoor service areas or no outdoor activities by the patrons. Is that correct?
So we would approve this with the conditions?
Yes.
And not deny? Okay.
Right.
Well, you're denying quite a few things with
your
conditions.
Right, but we're approving with conditions is the proper way to do this, correct?
I believe so.
Okay, we're in the discussion part, I guess. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Myron Brees, 2492 Lindenwood, right by the 40. I don't understand what you're approving if you're approving something and then declining everything in it.
They're approving the ability to serve alcohol indoors.
My understanding is that they already have that.
Yes, with the condition that they not be allowed to have outdoor service areas and that the patrons have no outdoor activity. That is the motion.
I still don't understand.
It's a legal way. The
special use permit is to allow a bar inside.
They already have that.
Bill has clarification for us.
Yes, Bill. Our litmus test over the years since I've been here is the revenue primarily derived from selling alcohol, or is the revenue primarily derived from doing something else? We don't make people that open a restaurant that also happen to sell alcohol and beer get a special use permit for a bar, because their primary sales is in food. When the gentleman came to us, and I've seen their establishment, I've been in there, they are primarily a golf simulation business. And it's really neat. I'm not trying to sell their product, but I just personally think it's really neat. I don't think their intent was to be a bar and have a couple of golf simulators there. So staff's interpretation is that personally they don't need a special use permit as a bar because they don't function that way.
Yeah.
We thought that it would be a good idea to maybe clean this up through this issue, that if for some reason nobody used golf simulators anymore and the primary business became selling alcohol, that would clean it up. My opinion is it's a moot point, the special use permit for the bar, because my interpretation was that their primary business was not the sale of alcohol. It was golf lessons, it was golf simulation, it was fitting clubs. Am I correct? Okay. So
Agree with me, disagree with me, that's my interpretation.
Okay.
All we're doing here today is saying outdoor space, seating, smoking, drinking, hanging out, driving, patroning is not something that we agree with. I guess that's all we're trying to say.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
This is your attorney over here.
I go somewhere, I'm coming.
That helps a little bit, because if the board were going to be looking at a special use permit, as the gentleman raised the issue, why is it they're already selling alcohol if they have to come to this board for a special use permit?
Right.
I think that would be problematic.
Yeah.
So I think the proper course is perhaps to, I don't like stepping on other departmental toes, but I think the proper course here is to say, to break it into two parts. The first is staff has already made the decision that alcohol is properly served and consumed at the location under the existing use.
Mm-hmm.
We've made that determination. The council has already issued a liquor license to the establishment that allows them to serve and allows them to serve during the hours set by state law.
Mm-hmm.
And so that issue has also been decided. Now, if someone is aggrieved of the opinion of staff, then they have a right to file the application asking the board to review that decision. But as of this moment, I think that decision should be considered done and over with. The indoor service is already allowed. The only question then to the board is whether there should be an outdoor service that would be allowed. And you can break it into the two parts. Should it be an outdoor service of alcohol, and should it be only on the south side, or should it be an outdoor service of alcohol on the north side? But I think the real story here for the board tonight is there going to be an expansion of the existing lawful use to either the outside north or the outside south? And I think that's what the board ought to make a decision on.
Okay.
And we'll go from there.
I like that.
Yeah, I think that clears it up.
I like that very much. Yeah. So the decision
is on the exterior.
Is on deny whether we will have it to deny on the north and the
outdoor service
south,
areas.
On both the north and the south, and any other side that might come up in option, in, as an option.
Okay. And were we all straight on it?
Yeah.
We had a motion.
How are we
going to
frame that? You know, how are we going to frame that?
I'd like to look, as I read the comments in the application, the comments say we would like to build a patio on the back side of the building. The patio would consist of approximately, 8-foot tall fence and an awning. That's the verbiage that I see on the application. So aren't we making a decision based on what they have applied for? Is that
the 8-foot tall fence and the awning?
I would say you deny the application.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say based on the application.
That's not going to affect your indoor.
Right. Based on the application that I see before me, I think we have a consensus that we're in agreement that that should be denied.
Mm-hmm.
The points that are discussed, the other point that's discussed in the staff report isn't addressed in this application, so really shouldn't be part of a discussion for us, as nearly as I can tell, as we're making a motion on an application.
Mm-hmm.
Is that incorrect?
No, I think
Greg?
You may be hamstringing your analysis in other cases and other circumstances down the road, but certainly you can take a constructionist approach to it. If the application is made for a certain thing and you determine that to be inappropriate, you can turn it down and be done with it.
Okay, we have a motion, and it's been seconded to deny the request, and that's primarily the outdoor facilities.
That's correct.
Has nothing to do with your indoor activity.
The use of outdoor facility.
That's correct.
Okay.
I don't want to confuse it any further, but however, I think if the board is inclined right now that we're not interested in an outdoor setup on the south side or the north side, we should make that part of our recommendation or motion. That way we don't see this next week or next month on the north side. Let's just clear it up right now and move on.
That's what I say. And I don't know if, to muddy the water one more time, but I want to be clear that we're not just talking about them serving alcohol out there, but are we or are we not? I don't know. Talking about people standing out there, it's not to be used as congregation in any way. Sure.
We can't control that.
Okay. No. So we're just saying not a patio, indoor or outdoor.
Right.
Okay.
But the request originally
and it's outdoor, whether that's north or south.
Correct. I'm just making sure that we're clear on the motion.
Right.
The only thing what we're discussing, the area was to the south that they're requesting. So they could technically bring it back to the north, as far as I understand.
Yes, but it was presented to us
as an outdoor.
As an option.
Outdoor.
That's
correct.
North or south, it's outdoors.
But do we have the legal right to determine north or south in this case?
We have a legal authority to determine outdoors.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Period.
It could just be, in my opinion, simply as saying we deny the special use permit for an outdoor service area, period.
Okay.
Bingo.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way you're going to write it, right, John? Okay.
Lisa will actually do that.
Okay.
Shall we make it
one more question?
Let's make it an official motion in a second.
With the plan that we wanted to do, and I am happy to get the neighbor's opinion on it, and we were going to build an additional fence and awnings, so we would be in an enclosed area. Looks like that's not going to happen. That's fine. So now, if customers go out, it'll be wide open in their outback smoking as long as, what are the ramifications of that? So we're basically deciding by denying this.
Well, but you said yourself that if they step outside with alcohol, they're breaking the law.
Well, obviously they can't take alcohol now, but if they go outside regardless to have a smoke break.
Right, but there's a big difference between being able to take my drink outside and have a cigarette and not being able to take my drink outside and have there's a big difference there.
Well, I heard a comment earlier from both you gentlemen that you're very neighborhood friendly. I guess we'll find out, won't we? If you can control that, you're neighborhood friendly. It's your business. Let us know by your actions.
I'd like to encourage and ask the neighbors, and I know I may be overstepping my bounds, but we're talking about areas that the board does not have purview on, and it's not going to influence the vote. I mean, I respectfully understand this is important to you, and but it's like the gentleman just said before, is this, we all need to get along here, and so we'll have to find some common ground where you can accommodate your customers, but it's not any different than Red Crow or any other place in the neighborhood. They got to deal with the same kinds of situations. It's just not an issue that the board is part of our purview.
Yeah, what's before us is what's before us, outdoor seating and serving.
That's all it's for.
That's all it is.
Can I just make one quick little aside? And that is that as a resident, I did feel slightly threatened with the thought that they would be possibly encouraging people to go out the back to smoke. And if it becomes a public nuisance, then I'm sure there are legal ramifications and remedies for a public nuisance. So I would hope that it wouldn't become a public nuisance. And one of the ways to do that might be by making it an exit, fire exit only door, and making that a service entrance only, so that your employees can come in, your fire escapees can get out, but it's not a public nuisance. Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion, and I think we're pretty clear on it, and I don't want to get into a lot more detail.
And it's been seconded.
Yeah, it's been seconded. So I think it's time for the vote. All in favor of denying the outdoor facility, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, same sign. The motion's carried then to deny 11035 on their special use permit to allow an outdoor service area. Moving on to F, case 11036 at 5726 Joshua Street. This is an R2 district, a request for a variance to reduce the required side yard setback from 5 feet to 3 feet to allow for construction of a utility shed submitted by Alan Sims, Jr. Do we have an affidavit of publication?
Just forgive me, he's like, let's go.
We got to have a staff report first.
I have no comments. I promise I'm doing the right thing. But.
Feels like he needs to keep his head down right now.
This was experience.
Yeah. Aren't you glad you weren't at the top of the docket?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have an affidavit of publication.
And you want to do a staff report, or?
Yes, sir. Site is located south of Hopewell Avenue and is highlighted with the yellow on the graphic currently before you. With this being Joshua, and of course north being that direction, this is the plot plan. The shed was installed on a cement pad that was previously poured, and it is 3 feet from the side yard line. The rear yard where it is located is completely enclosed with a 6-foot high fence, as is shown with the red line around the rear yard. The shed will have absolutely no electrical service running to it. The shed will be a minimum of 39 feet from the nearest neighboring structure. And of course, that 39 feet will be separated by the fence that I previously discussed. One of the intents of the side yard setbacks is for fire separation, leapfrogging from one structure to the other. If approved at the 3-foot mark, the neighboring resident has a minimum side yard setback of 5 foot, therefore the 3 plus 5, if any time in the future, and there's probably no plans of that, somebody were to put a structure 5 feet, you still have the 8-foot separation. The applicant still has sufficient room to go completely around the shed and maintain it without crossing over onto the neighbor's property. Staff was contacted by one of the neighbors, a Mr. David Curtis of 5814 Joshua Street, and he has reviewed the request, asked several questions of staff, and supports the variance request as it is, and feels that the applicant is living up to the intent of the ordinance as well. Although staff can't specifically cite a hardship to you, it does appear at least that the intent of the ordinance for separation purpose, maintenance purpose, and obviously aesthetics, this thing's going to be hidden, is still being maintained should you approve the variance request. I'm sure you've all visited the site. It's not one of these very cheap, ugly looking metal sheds. It is a very nice structure, and it adds aesthetically complementary to the neighborhood. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, now, does the applicant wish to make any comments?
I just screwed up. That's only 2 minutes. But I tried to do the right thing.
Okay. I think I went out and looked at it, and we can barely see the roof line over the fence. You can see the neighbor's play set out there. That's more prominent than the roof of the shed. And the 6-foot high fence really does shield it there. So those are my comments.
I think you have a beautiful home. I think it's very nice.
Make a motion to approve.
I had a question first.
Oh, okay.
Of staff. A question I have of staff
comes
from my day job. Does the staff in a situation like this make any effort to determine whether or not said structure should fall under a set of covenants, and let the applicant know that?
Normally, when they apply for the building permit application, those types of things are discussed with them that they need to check with and make sure covenants. It is not something that staff does not go out and
just to alert them, because
yes,
we've had situations in the past where
and that's
people
how
didn't
we
know
found
that.
Out about this. Normally, if it's a 120 square foot shed.
Okay.
Or under, we wouldn't even
In most neighborhoods in Bettendorf right now, very honestly, that are new neighborhoods, a shed would not be approved.
Right.
Under
there's
covenants.
An order of covenants. There's an order, and I don't remember what the order is, but there's
comes
an order
after
of how it works, right?
Covenants is below anything these guys can do.
I do have a comment. When I purchased a house when I got the military about 5 or 6 years ago, that one of the things I asked is we have a covenant for the area.
There's no Bill, you had a comment?
We will encourage people to review covenants in the neighborhoods. We have no record of them.
Yeah.
Do we enforce them?
Right.
So we try to alert people there may be covenants.
Okay. Did I hear somebody make a comment?
Record of
motion?
I threw it out there.
Okay.
I make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
We have a motion to approve. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? I hope not.
No.
Yeah. Okay. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, same sign.
I bet we never see him again.
And meeting's adjourned. Thank you.